work as well, and he was encouraged us to ask questions of him even along the way. But we'll try to reserve time at the end to ask questions and talk about this stuff, but feel free to do stuff along the way as well. Okay? Cool. Basically my graduate thesis, and what I did was I found all this wood and covered my studio walls with this wood, and so I could make a piece that was basically the size of my studio, and the number of units in the piece, I did each painting in a day. So it was the first time I tried to work within a kind of preconceived system or structure that I come up with on my own. And I basically would park my car 4 or 5 blocks from school. I'd walk to school, think about something, go into my studio, make a painting of it. And I figured out how many days it would take me to finish the piece so that it would be done in time for my graduate show, and then shown flat on the wall. And in some ways, it's kind of still the basis of everything I do, because I still work within these kinds of created frameworks of rules, and I still work really intuitively. And the imagery in the paintings was just built completely intuitively. And so I got out of grad school, and when I went to school, the program I was in was very heavy with French theory. I got my ass kicked a lot for being a painter. I don't think anybody else graduated as a painter. It was like in the late 80s. A lot of text on the wall and like piles of dust on the floor. So I got out of school and I thought I would try to make something that was an attempt to make art. So I came up with this big concept and these big structures for the paintings to exist in, and it sort of fulfilled all these academic things that I thought the work needed to fulfill, and they were a complete failure for me. They didn't do anything that I wanted them to do, and I realized I really just wanted to make the paintings center, which were purely intuitive. And so I needed to find a way to work intuitively that had something else involved in the practice that that wasn't so forced. And when I was in grad school, one of my professors said to me that since all my work was coming from literature, that it would be really good for the text to somehow adapt to the work. And I swore to him that would never happen. And so probably 3 months out of grad school, I made this painting. I always think it's good when I contradict myself. But I was reading this book, and in the book, these two characters were discussing kind of what God could be, and one was kind of defining God as a riddle, which was intended not to be solved, but to exist, and to exist for us always, trouble us always. And I really felt like that was what I wanted my work to kind of do, which was to put information out there, to have a sense that there's something going on in it, intellectually as well as intuitively, but to never really put something out there that would give you something very specific, so that it would tell you what to think or what to feel, and then the experience would be over. I'm really interested in these works that have to be experienced and so the next piece I did was using the same book. I tore the book apart and did a painting for every page, using every page of the book. I think there's a detail. And so these little sort of rectangular areas are one line of text from every page of this book. And again, it was like trying to use this structure that exists, which was this book, and have it interact with my own intuitive reactions to it. It's like an old surrealist game, placing text with an image and letting people try and figure out how these things work together and how similar or different they are. And so for the first, I was working on sound all this time, but I never really thought of it in the context of my visual work. And when I was in grad school, nobody was really interested in discussing the sound work. And so it kind of just stayed in the background for a while. I worked on the sound work at home, and I worked on the paintings in my studio. And I was still struggling with the paintings when I did this one, which was around, I think around 1990. And I kind of view it as the first painting, because everything I've done since then has in some way related back to the idea of how this painting came about. I was working on this sort of green, black, and red painting that you can kind of see in the background, and I was struggling along with it, and I really felt like I could be a certain kind of painter and make these same kind of paintings over and over again forever and refine them, and they would get better, but they were, like, the path was too clear. And so I was thumbing through a magazine, and I decided to write down the first letter of every name in an advertisement in the typeface and with some kind of relative size to each other. See if I could get through the magazine without running out of canvas. And I like, in some ways, working with these kind of simple ideas that aren't very interesting, but where the process of working with them becomes interesting. So for me, the practice part is really, really important. And during that part, then usually the idea part becomes a lot less important. Falls away from the work. To kind of skim through some of these. Just to give you a sense of my how intuitive the practice is, I mean, this is a painting that at one point I thought was finished, so I took a slide of it, and then probably, you know, 6 months later, this is the same painting. Everything goes through a lot of transformation before it gets to the final place. 1992, I did my first sound performance under my own name and doing this kind of work. I had been making sound for a performance artist in LA for 5 or 6 years and never telling anyone about the performances because I didn't really like his work. But it was a really good experience for me to kind of work in front of people again and deal with sound in a more public kind of way. And I was invited to do this performance, and I really didn't know what to do. I'd been working with tape a lot to make my compositions, and I wanted to kind of figure out a way to work live. And there's a typographer named Eric Gill who wrote this great text about typography and how man and machines couldn't really work together very well. And I really, really hated the computer at that point. And I thought it would be nice to make a piece for Eric Gill using the computer. And so I basically, you could kind of see me in the upper right. There's a little Mac SE that I'm crouched behind. And I sang the alphabet and played the accordion, which I didn't know how to play. And then had the computer trigger samples that were me sort of singing these texts that he wrote in this book about how human beings and machines couldn't work together. And the thing that I'm interested in always is to use these ideas as starting points. And so they're kind of the food for me to kind of work through what I want to do, and the work comes out of them, but I'm not so interested in, when you sat and listened to this piece, I wasn't so interested in making any of these connections. more interested in somebody just sitting there listening to the soundscape and going wherever that takes them. 95 was kind of the year that everything started to come together. I made my first sculpture, which this is a picture of. Donald Judd had just died, and I never really liked sculpture, particularly his work. And I saw an image of a piece of paper that was found in his studio with paint chips on it, and I thought that I should make him a sculpture. So the sculpture is loosely based on this diagram that was found in his studio, and I'm sure he would have hated it, but it was a great thing to do because it led to sculpture becoming a huge part of my practice, and also it led to me being able to kind of walk around and experience sculpture in a way that I was much more comfortable with. The same year, not the first sound installation, but I started to do more sound installation works. This was at an abandoned zoo in Los Angeles. And I made recordings of water sounds and then slowed them down and sped them up and created a soundscape and then put the speakers and the tape player down inside this empty old water pipe and playing very quietly so most people just walked by it and anybody that took the time to kind of peer into that hole would be greeted with a little quiet soundscape. And also that same year I made my first film. I got a Super 8 camera for my 12th birthday and I always wanted to use it to make a piece of work with, so I decided that the thing to do would be to keep it with me a day for a year. And I shot 10 seconds of sunlight every day for a year. And I didn't want to put sound to it because I didn't want to kind of make it more evocative. Kind of force myself to really deal with film, deal with time, deal with scale. So this is now about, I would say, 5 years ago. Things really started to come together for me in terms of how I wanted to use information. I didn't show a lot of the earlier paintings, but a lot of the paintings were built on quotations from other sources, as well as the sound work being made using a lot of samples. And this whole idea of recontextualization was really interesting to me. Up to a point, and then I felt like I kind of, you could recontextualize anything and it would have a new meaning. And again, it seemed like something that was kind of endless. And if I don't have rules, then I tend to get lost and I have too much fun and I fall back on my own natural tendencies. So I always like to kind of shake things up for myself, put myself in a place where I'm not comfortable working and where I'm forced to deal with a situation or a way of working that will hopefully bring about something more unexpected for me. And so I found this stencil set at a flea market, and if you use the stencil correctly, it makes that little car that's over on the left, lower left. And this is a toy I had when I was probably 4, and it's the earliest drawing memory I have. And so when I saw it, I had this huge like rush of memory and excitement. I went home and I started to draw cars with it, and it was really, really boring. And so I wanted to try to find a way to use it that would still have that thing for me, which is when you lift up the stencil, the thing that you see beneath it is something much more unexpected. And I like the idea that the drawings are all made up of somebody else's lines. All of the lines combined would make, in all the drawings, would make at least one car. They're kind of these like macho